Welcome back to Tech Ease, the podcast about simplifying our lives one gadget at a time. This is Shane, and I'm joined by Tony. Right on cue.
That's about right. My bad.
Joined by Tony. You guys can turn your volume down if that's too loud for you.
Oh, now it's my fault.
Well, I'm just saying.
Wait, are you talking to us or the viewers?
That is.
Yeah. It's that not intro
gonna,
is a little loud. In
it's
our
not going
to
sound that way.
I suppose I could be turning that down. Although right now it sounds good.
Not going to sound that way to the viewers, but
if you're listening along, that's probably the worst of it. I can't imagine it, you know, we would have any spike in volume after that.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. It does. I swear, I've listened in my car. It doesn't. It comes off as being about the same volume as other podcasts now that I listen to. So. I think it's just you guys.
Oh, sure.
Long story short, just kidding.
I see how it is.
I'm just saying you could you know try turning your volumes down. That might help. And Matt, what's good? Well, Tony, I don't know. Did you say what's going on with you? What's going on, Tony? How you doing?
I squeaked because I don't know what that was all about.
Yeah, what set that one off?
Something. Matt. What? I don't know.
Tony,
you guys making
Tony
me laugh
squeaked
or
one off. Matt.
Just happy. Yes. I don't know what's up.
Yes, just happy. Yep, what's up?
Yeah, not too much. What's up?
I am
you
also
guys?
Happy. What's up?
You guys see?
Matt's happy with the what's up.
Baby. I don't need to ask Tony this because for obvious reasons. But see that Jurassic Park movie, Jurassic World movie, I should say.
Jurassic World.
Oh, I have not.
Oh,
it's
Matt didn't see
it. Movie. I hear it's doing good at the box office, but I don't know what the numbers are yet.
Tony and I. Oh, it is. They went above 500 million.
Woo!
Yep.
So they did beat, what was that one? You
Shattered, yeah. Yep. Avengers 2, it did.
Nice.
It did beat Avengers 2. It's a true story.
Can't believe it. They still somehow, I don't know. 2 was okay. 3 kind of was terrible, at least in my opinion. And then here they kind of bring it back. So you don't have to have another one now just to make even more money.
I was pretty impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
It clearly simplified our lives by watching.
You got Star-Lord in there, of course. It's going to be great.
That's right. Yeah. No, it was good. I liked it a lot. There was, and no spoilers here, but there was a lot of nostalgia there. It's just crazy to think that Jurassic Park is over 20 years old now.
Oh man, I watched that. I don't know how many on my cassette or my VHS cassette.
Tony, listen to the Jurassic Park sing along on cassette tape.
I did. It's probably my first. Soundtrack on cassette. I did get that, and I did listen to that a lot. I thought it was a great one.
JP sing along with Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson
and Newman.
The original is what got me involved in Linux.
Oh,
because of the Unix system.
Yeah,
Lex was a hacker.
I think I heard somebody actually made an interface like that, a screensaver. No, or no, was it an actual functioning overlay or something for Linux? I believe.
Oh yeah, there might have been
that, and there's a 404 page out there that is the you didn't say the magic word that whole part.
Newman
showed you that was fun.
Or his name was Dennis, I think, in that movie.
Yes, Nedry. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be a college kid in the book, if I recall.
Oh,
just kind of silly. Anyway, what you guys? Consuming anything tonight by chance?
Either I'm just onto the water. Boring.
Okay, that's fine.
What do you got, Shane?
May have put a little whiskey in my Dr. Pepper.
I actually have. I the first time I got vodka, and I don't know how many years I had some Diet Mountain Dew with it.
There you go. Nice.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Diet. Oof.
I know.
It's the combo.
I don't really drink soda too much, but I'm like, you know, I haven't done this in a while. Might as well give it a shot.
That's like the 4 gig model of soda.
Oh, snap. That's right.
Okay, that's a little inside baseball there, but I think people get the point. You can't even get a 4 gig model anymore. It's that bad.
You wouldn't be able to upgrade it.
Actually, the worst iPhone you can get now, I suppose, is the 8 gig.
That's true.
After a year, it gets demoted. But for that insider joke, though, I did get the first gen iPhone 4 gig because, you know, they were not subsidized, and that was $500 at
the
time.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
And the 8 gig was $600, AT&T only.
Mm-hmm.
And I still get, apparently I still get crap from it to this day.
I suppose there's iPads out there that cost that much now, so it's not completely
that's
crazy.
True. Well, you know, you could get away with having 4 gigs back then too because there was no App Store.
Yeah.
It was mostly music that took up everything. And that was, I mean, there was no Dropbox. There was no, I mean, a lot of that stuff's iCloud storage based or cloud storage, I should say. But yeah, music, I think, was the bulk of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe videos. I don't remember. But yeah.
Well, I suppose we should probably dive into the news here, shall we?
Sure. News.
That's right, it's a special report.
What?
Again. This is
what?
Why play? This is like the third time playing that. You guys don't remember that now?
You sure it's not the first time?
It's definitely not. Maybe it just wasn't as overpowering before. Anyway, today we are going to talk about WWDC 2015. That's the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference. And where is that? You guys know where that's located? I don't even think it's somewhere in California, I take it.
Isn't it San Francisco by their campus somewhere?
That could be. That sounds...
I don't know the actual location. Yeah, San Francisco, I think, but I don't know the like the building.
We took like a gazillion notes here and just about everything but where it actually is located. And we're pretty much just going to be talking about Apple's keynote here because, well, that's all I was watching. I'm not really sure if anything else was revealed or announced at WWDC beyond that since it was, what, all week long, I think?
Yeah, it's all week long.
Right. We're just pretty much going to go over, what Apple's keynote entailed, and we'll see how things go. Not really sure. We've got quite a bit here to go over. If there happens to be time at the end, we might go into an XP boost section, but otherwise we can save that for next week. So let's get things rolling here. First things first, Apple revealed their next OS 10. That's their Mac OS 10. Their latest version, which is as probably the single strangest names of any operating system ever created, which is OS X El Capitan, which we were just now talking about how that is a rock formation within Yosemite, which was the previous version of OS X. I felt like this was the last couple of years that Craig... I don't want to say his name wrong, but I think it's Federini up there. And he had his fun little talk about how they went about naming it. This one was a little shorter. And they ultimately just said they needed to look within, not within themselves, but within within Yosemite. And that's how they came up with this name. It's still a bit strange, but it is what it is. So just kind of go down the line here. Like the very first thing he revealed was something I think I missed the first time because the stream was a little bit jacked up at the time. But I guess if you shake your cursor now, sometimes I thought this was actually kind of clever because there are certainly times where I get lost or can't find my cursor. And so now you can shake it and it makes the cursor icon a lot larger just so you can kind of see it there. And I guess Windows has had something similar to that for a while, haven't they?
Have they?
Not exactly like that, but I know there's an option on there where it'll show like a ripple effect on the screen to kind of locate your cursor, but you might have to hit a series of gear or a certain key to actually get it to do that. But I'm pretty sure that's an option in there.
Oh.
So I guess this is more or
less... I do like that. That is nice because I do lose my cursor, my arrow on the screen, so being able to shake it and then it blows up, I think that's a small little feature. That's nice.
Yeah, I guess this is Apple's equivalent of that. Next, I went right into Mail, the new updates to their Mail client. They've added in swipe gestures, similar to in iOS, where you can just kind of drag to perform certain functions, such as delete or what archive, that sort of stuff. There's the, I guess they talked about full screen mode like it was a new feature, and I'm kind of surprised to hear that if full screen wasn't already available in the Mail client.
But yeah, don't they, and I don't know if you guys know this too, but wasn't there that, you know, full screen on whatever it was, either the current version or the one before, where they had that blue button in the upper right hand corner of their apps and some other ones to make it full screen? And now right. I don't even see that anymore. Maybe I missed something.
That was with Yosemite, and that's the turn into the green button basically became the full screen button. And if you hold down, well, I guess a lot of people still refer to it as the option key. I still call it alt because it's kind of both right now. But mm-hmm. if you hold down the option key, you can still get your old plus sign on all those full screen apps, at least in Yosemite. But so that's that. And tabs. They added in tabs to the compose window, which I don't know. I'm a little bit indifferent on that one. I don't see myself composing multiple emails simultaneously, but maybe a lot of people do. That seems kind of disorganized, actually, a little bit.
Sometimes I think when you're composing something, and then you'll just see other email come in, you want to check it really quick. So maybe you want to kind of shove that in the background. But
Some people might be big multitaskers that way. That's people that write just a ton of email. That probably makes a lot of sense.
Do you guys use the Mail client?
Nope.
In Apple? Is any?
No, I don't use it either.
I'm thinking about it.
I did when I first got a Mac, and I just, now it's like, well, I just throw up Gmail, and that's kind of what I do. And yeah. I haven't even bothered connecting it when I got a newer, you know, anything like that anymore. So it's nice. I got some great features, but I don't think I use half of them.
I think since Gmail came out, I haven't really liked using any desktop mail client.
Right.
I don't know. I guess maybe if you were writing a lot more emails, maybe it would be a big deal, but I don't know. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so Safari got some updates. Finally. Oh my God. I'm so excited about this. and so far, so it's been so long since they could have done this years ago, but, pinned sites. That's right. Pinned. You can finally pin your tabs or pin tabs, I guess.
I remember you saying that in the browser podcast we did back, and I think Gmail was or Google was the only one.
No,
Google Chrome.
Well, Chrome has it. Firefox has it.
Does IE have it?
No, I think I remember looking. I don't believe they did have pin tabs. There was group tabs, and I didn't.
But then you did use it a lot, and you kind of got me into it a bit. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is nice. I could see why you like it. You know, just keep it up there every time you open up. Well, Chrome if you're going to use it.
Right.
And they're right there. So yeah, this will be nice. I'm kind of glad Safari added it as well.
Yeah, I think in this day and age, it's for a browser to really even be taken seriously. In my personal opinion, that it kind of needs that if you're doing any sort of work in your web browser, I think that is pretty imperative just to keep things sorted. Just, you know, to have your tabs off to the side that are your just constant, especially if you're using, you know, Google Enterprise at work or anything like that. There's certain tabs, you know, your email, your calendar, those types of things you're just going to be keeping open all the time. So having the ability to pin your tabs is pretty important, I would say. So good on them for finally getting it done. I guess AirPlay will allow you to show your entire desktop, or I'm sorry, lets you share, you know, what's on one of those tabs without actually showing the entire desktop. So they're kind of that's pretty neat, I think, because there are certainly times where you don't want people to see everything that's on your screen. Just being able to share that certain tab, I think that's a great idea. And then. Something that was kind of one of the unexpected things that's really cool is that you're going to be able to see where certain audio is playing. Like if audio is playing, there'll be an icon, I think, near the search bar in the middle showing you that audio is playing. You can, you know, click on it and find out where it's coming from, or you can just mute all of the audio. So I think that's kind of nice, you know, without actually trying to seek out and find where that audio is coming from manually. So
then that's nice.
They announced some Spotlight improvements in there. There are, I guess a lot more search option functionality. As is the case, as when we get to iOS, you'll see there's also they made improvements across the board with their searching. You can resize the window. That was kind of a big deal. The spotlight window. I don't know what how helpful that really is, but and it also there are some keywords in there, and I think this was have it under spotlight search, but I think this was something in Finder you could do specifically by typing in the keyword ignore, different things like that. It allows you to essentially kind of search for things using your own words. So if you're in Finder and you type in something along the lines of these files, but ignore such and such, somehow figures out how to not bring up those particular types of files. So it's kind of more human readable in that way.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah.
That'll be great. Well, I'm trying to think of like in Google where, I was searching something and I'm like, I don't even remember what it was, but it's like this, you know, you search for one thing and then it's so close to something else, but it's like, I don't want that one. So then, you know, and I try to say, I want this, but, and then not that. And usually Google's good with searching, but I just couldn't think of like a good way to word it. So then I kept getting a lot of crap that I didn't want. So. Mm. I don't know. That was just an example, sort of.
Sure. Mm. So the along with that, the mission control allegedly got some improvements. I wasn't quite clear. They showed it. Craig up on stage there showed, bringing up the windows that you currently have open, and I'm still not quite sure I understand what changed there, because. To be perfectly honest, I've never quite understood all that, and it's always been a little bit confusing to me, but for the most part, it looked the same, honestly.
Mission Control is the one where you zoomed out that shows you the windows and then all of your different virtual desktops. Is that the...
Right. Yeah.
I don't remember the branding on that.
Your spaces, yeah.
Are they in a single layer this time versus can't they be like on top of each other before? I don't... That's one thing I don't use it either, so...
Yeah, I'm not...
And now maybe they're supposed to be a little bit more organized, so you can see... I don't know, I'm just kind of looking at their site,
supposedly,
too.
Yeah, I don't... I honestly don't know what changed there. I think the spaces, though, is kind of what got the most improvement, which I'll mention here in just a moment, but... Mm-hmm. The notes application that they finally added in things like checklists, photos, links, different styling options, to the text in there, which is I'm kind of torn on that because notes, in a way, I feel like notes was essentially Apple's version of text or Notepad, right?
Yeah,
just kind of a super simple text editor. But I guess it's good they're adding these things to it.
Of course, I think
they've got a text editor. This is kind of like, I don't know, it's like a scaled down version of something like Evernote.
Mm-hmm.
Notes is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Is this like Evernote, though? Is that what this is kind of like? And then they use iCloud. The thing is, I tried to do this with iCloud, at least right now, currently, and you need to sign up with a new email address at iCloud to be able to sync everything.
Yeah, it's synced through... Your email, which was really weird for a while. I think they switched it to iCloud recently, which has been pretty nice because it doesn't make any sense syncing with email.
Mm. Yeah. And I want to set it up though, at least with iOS with it, but I don't want a new email address. I don't know.
Yeah, my notes syncing. So it's, pretty much anything I write in the notes goes into my Gmail, which is a little bit confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's nice because I have that backup just in case. Considering notes are, you delete something and it's pretty much gone unless you undo it.
Yeah.
Change you make, but I like the idea of the checklist, I guess. Although I could also say I don't know, what Apple's got this and reminders seems kind of a little bit backwards, but
reminders, you don't need to set up a new email. I use reminders a lot, and I actually share it with other people, too. So you can have a reminders, like bullet list or whatever,
and you can share it, and both you know your two parties can add different things to it and delete or check it off. And I do like that.
Gotcha. I'm still not a big fan of the reminders interface. I can't really.
Yeah, it could be better.
Can't really get past
that. Yeah.
Okay, it's terrible.
I don't know about terrible, but yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Well, so does that mean? I don't know. Do they? I don't know how much they really went over the checklist. Are the checklist the standard check box format, or is it like the dot that reminders uses? Probably a.
I don't remember what it looked like. Yeah, I think it was just a check box, but.
Yeah. Which I actually kind of prefer.
I would rather have the checklist in notes versus using the reminders app. But the notes app, it seems like there's so many better alternatives than just the stock one. I guess if you just want something simple.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they went over, and this was more, they may have gone over this more in iOS, but the different sorting filtering options that you have, I'm actually not sure if that is on OS X or if it's just iOS, but we'll get to that a little later. Maps got an update, and it's transit options, and that's pretty much it. So transit, transit as in buses, trains, what else? That's about it, right? That those types of mass transit capabilities.
I guess if you're grouping subways and those kind of things into trains, yeah.
Subway, sure. Yep.
Yeah.
You know what? So transit, yet not traffic, which is, I don't know. Do you guys know? I feel like it doesn't have traffic options, at least not like Google Maps does. Have you experienced that? Because
I suppose I really haven't used it as much to really know. I probably just use my default is Google Maps.
It is now. Yeah.
Has it or not? I think one of the big differences is probably, I'm assuming the way Google does traffic is it just monitors everybody sending their information to it, and then it can see where the slowdowns are. I know the speed limit is 45. Everybody that's in that area is going 20 something, so they would realize that's a red zone. So I think it's the privacy might be the big issue for Apple in terms of getting the traffic.
Wow. So it's not. That could be. Wow. For some reason, I always just assumed it was. Live satellite streams or something. Maybe that doesn't really
there could
sense.
Be traffic cameras that they'd tap into, but I would just probably. Assume they would use the, use your data.
Ultimately, that's why I prefer Google Maps right now still, is because it tends to show me the quickest route and seems to be quicker, more up-to-date with construction and, when a road is... either is a new road or no longer a road. Google seems to be a little more up to date with that. So really a little bit disappointed that they didn't talk about new traffic options. But
the transit stuff they did, it seems like they did it right.
Yeah.
In terms of I'm getting off of this subway area, but it could be a huge underground complex. It takes into account walking distance from one place to the other. So it seems like they did a really, really good job. I guess time will tell, but I was pretty impressed what they showed. So, and I think this can, it could affect a lot of people. So
sure. Yeah. Big cities. I think that's
big cities. Yeah.
Really the type of people it's speaking to. And I guess, and to be perfectly honest, I can't relate to this not living in a, huge city or anything, but so I'm sure a lot of people will appreciate that.
It'd be nice for vacations if you vacation in a big city, make it a little less daunting to try and take public transit. But
another good
Google's
point.
Google's got that kind of stuff too.
Yeah,
good point, Matt. Always making the good points.
I'll try to make a couple bad ones.
So let's
good measure. Yeah.
well, let's go into split view here. This is, I think, the thing that Matt was. Maybe you didn't quite catch on here, but curious to hear a little bit more. Yes, Matt. this is the this is essentially Apple's version of what Windows currently does with the where you drag your window to the left or right of the screen and it takes up 50% of the screen. This is Apple's basically their response to that.
Right.
It is it allows you to do that essentially while also being able to adjust just how wide, either screen is. There is an adjustable bar. So if you if you go into the split screen mode, you can have one app off to the right. And they made it look like you kind of need that one that's on the right to be a little bit smaller, a little bit not quite as wide, but it does allow you to make that adjustment, that sliding bar in between the windows. You can kind of resize those as you wish. One of the things I noticed on there that they didn't call out specifically, but I noticed it, and I'm very happy to say, the full screen animation seems a lot quicker now, which I think, not saying, ooh, you know, I'm not saying I had anything to do with it, because I clearly didn't, but you know, I got to say a lot of users probably had the same complaint that I did, that animation was just taking too long, and it seems to go a lot quicker there. Along with this split view, there is a drag and drop option that allows you to, you know, put those split view windows onto its own space on the spaces bar. That's at the top when you go into that mission control. I don't remember what Matt called it exactly. It's like the different desktops that are on the very top of the screen. So you can apparently have different split view windows setups on there, which is kind of nice.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I might have to watch that again. I think I missed that section. That seems like a really nice feature.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Yeah, it should be good.
I think I missed that one too.
Well, I watched it a second time, so it's really handy too with the Apple TV. They got, you know, obviously they got those all on there to rewatch. Now, if they can only get the live stream functioning better. But who knows? Maybe it wasn't Apple. Maybe it's, you know, just the particular ISP or what have you. But so they also talked about the improved performance that you get. You know, I don't have a lot of details there. Just that there is improved performance, speed wise and everything. Along with that, there was they talked about how they're bringing Metal to OS X, which is their 3D graphics library that allows developers to basically have higher performance 3D graphics that runs closer to the hardware, which I think is pretty nice. They had a couple examples there, one of which they talked about Adobe is partnering with them, and they're seeing a lot of improvements, which is huge for me, you know, people like me who work a lot in Photoshop and different, the creative suite. And, yeah, so it's kind of exciting. The other thing they had was, what was it? Epic Games was there and showed this, Fortnite game. And the guy that kind of, you know, bless his heart. He seems like a nice guy. it was just kind of lame at the same time. I don't want to call. I don't know.
I didn't know about that game. Yeah,
I don't know.
I kind of zoned out during it. I was like, "All right, just tell me the performance improvement, and let's kind of go on."
Yeah, it's. True. I mean, I get it's got to be.
Bless his heart.
It's got to be more of a kid's game, really, because
kind of it looked all right, but I don't know.
Yeah, it was. Some of his reactions were a bit over the top. And scripted, but you know, it seems like it could be fun. Probably up there with Overwatch, actually, in terms of the feel of it. But I feel like Overwatch is probably going to be a much better game in general. No offense again to Fortnite, but it seemed to run well on Metal. You know, to Metal's true. Point, to Metal's credit. Along with that, you know, there's a couple other things I noticed, which I'm not quite sure they addressed specifically. Photos apparently has some improvements coming, and along with more international support to OS X. Those are just a couple of things they pointed out on the website, and but again, they didn't really go into those so much during the keynote. But either of you. Remember any of the improvements that those were getting at all?
Shoot, I forgot there was some photos where you could kind of scroll through just a whole bunch of different dates just to make it a lot easier to scroll through all your photos.
That wasn't in iOS specifically?
Was it iOS?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Not sure. And yeah, and as far as international support, I think there was a keyboard and just language support in general. So, all right, well, so that was OS 10. Let's carry on here to iOS number 9, version 9, that is. And we are going to talk about, we're going to start off here with Siri, which Tony was talking about the pretty new interface that Siri is
kind of
will be sporting now. Yeah, I like it. I don't know.
If it's considered an interface, I know it's just like, you know, when you talk to her and she kind of makes that, like, I don't know, it's like a sound image, you know.
Waveform, maybe.
But, you know, it's a little prettier now. So, yeah.
I like it, though. It's a little, little rainbowy.
I like it.
And
Siri's a little prettier.
Siri's a little prettier.
That's right. Yeah, it has a different kind of, I mean, it's similar, but it's, yeah, it's got the rainbow colorization in there. Looks kind of neat. Along with that, you are able to tell Siri now to remind me about this, and this referring to whatever it is that's on that you have open at that particular time, which is kind of neat. I don't know. So she's just getting smarter overall.
I kind of think I was just going to say with, I don't know if any of you got the Google I/O, but I think that they kind of talked about that a little bit too, the context of what's on the screen. And you can kind of, you know, tell what, I don't even know Gmail or Google's was version of it is, but they can kind of remind you of, or talk about different things that are on the screen too. Context something, I think it was.
Mm.
So I think, yeah, they're both kind of doing something like that. But yeah, I like it.
Good, good.
Matt, I think I
was just going to say the same point. So yeah.
Yeah.
All
Sorry.
So along with that, you know, I put assistant down here. I'm not quite sure what assistant refers to, but essentially you will now have the option, or not option, if someone calls you that a number that's not in your contacts list, it will, I'm guessing you can turn this on or off, but you have the option of having a maybe, you know, colon, such and such person.
Oh yeah, I did see that demo. That's nice. I like that.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I think they said hooked up through. So if you've got email coming in through your phone, it uses everything local on your. Figure that out. So if someone emailed you something, they've got a signature in their, you know, whatever their bottom of their email is, and it's got a phone number. Siri can parse it out and say, oh, this person's actually calling you. So, you know, this phone number, you don't know it in your contacts, but it's probably this guy who emailed you because I saw his signature. So it's kind of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty neat. Yeah, that would be probably help. I wonder though, it didn't say anything about looking like reverse looking up a phone number or anything like that. Such as if there's a public phone number listed on a website or something, that'd be, I don't know if they could do that or not, but that would be.
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, that seems like the easy way to do it is just we've got this directory of phone numbers that, you know, if it is public, if it's a business, someone calling you from there, they should be able to figure that out.
Yeah.
But they did make a point about the privacy that it's only using information on your phone. So
right.
they won't even go to, you know, your email server and then query that. They'll just look at what you've got on your phone.
Right. All right. Well, then let's dive into the new search functionality. As we discussed with OS 10, there are some improvements here to iOS as well. And this always seems like something that people aren't that interested in, but the ability to search for sports scores. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there, plenty of sports fans that would find this interesting. And obviously, there must be a market for it if they keep making updates with with sports scores and things. But also, you know, videos allows you to, I guess, search for video. That seems kind of interesting. Not quite sure if they just kind of pop up within the search interface. I assume that's maybe part of it. I don't know if you can actually play the video within there, but definitely are able to. As far as the results are, you're going to start getting videos in there as well. There is an API that they're releasing for it, which is kind of neat. It allows you to deep link within other applications, third-party applications, such as Evernote. Matt?
Yeah, I thought Evernote would be great. You know, Dropbox could be the same thing. If you're looking for a file, you could just search on the normal search thing, and it might Dropbox may plug in and say, hey, you've got this file here. Do you want to go to it? Or the Notes app, or if you use whatever other third-party Notes app you've got, you could search for that. So I'm pretty excited about that because I do use the Spotlight search on the phone a lot.
Sure, sure. One of the other things you get on it is a new search interface, I should say. You get Siri suggestions. There's a section on there that has suggestions specifically for Siri, apparently. And then also Nearby, which somehow uses your location to determine what's around you based on your search.
I do like that. I know when I was before on a different job and I was in a different city or whatever, I kind of wanted to see what was around me, just to eat or to figure out, basically to see what I could get for dinner that night or whatever. But so it'd be kind of hard to plug in, especially if you don't necessarily know like your zip code or area code or whatever it is, your zip code. So I think this is a good addition. I could see myself using this.
Sure, sure. So along with that, there is a search for news articles.
Mm-hmm.
And also unit conversions. You're able to type in unit conversions, which I think is kind of nice. And maybe overdue, but they're not Google, so they maybe don't have quite as much direct capability to do some of these things.
to do unit conversions. No, they're not Google. They don't know what a tablespoon is.
Well, I don't know if they really went into. I guess that is maybe locally done and not doesn't reach out to Google specifically for some of those things. But the thing I noticed is, and they didn't really say that they were changing it, but it appeared to be that they're going back to where you swipe to the left to get to your search bar. Whereas in iOS, I think, was it both 7 and 8?
I think 7 they switched it, yeah, they're just swiping down.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, just swiping down from anywhere. Which, so, they didn't really say if they were eliminating that as an option, but they did. Mm-hmm. He did show Craig, the way he showed it, had him just swiping left to get to that search bar. The thing I liked about being able to swipe down was that you could access that from any page on your home screen. Mm-hmm. If they're changing it back to this way, obviously you won't be able to do that any longer. So we'll have to check that out though once it's released.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and it just seemed like one of those small things that just kind of irked me. Like it seems like a step backwards.
Right. Oh, so you do prefer this way?
Yeah, I do like the swipe down. Yeah, from any screen.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Screen. You can be wrong.
Snap.
Just kidding.
The point you brought up, where if you've got multiple screens, you're on the last one, you got to swipe left five times to get to it.
Yeah, I don't. I don't necessarily have a preference. I'm not going to the search bar too frequently, honestly. It doesn't really bother. I guess I would take the detailed search in any regard. This seems like there's a lot of improvements here, so should be good. So I noticed that they didn't really have a name for this, but they are introducing some additional applications to those that can, where you sometimes you get that icon that's on your lock screen, in the lower left, different applications that allow you to swipe up from the lower left. And, they've just added a bunch of, additional applications that allow you to use that functionality. So, look for that.
Yeah.
Another thing they talked about is that you will, if you
plug in. Oh, yes.
Oh, right, Tony's right. Excited. Tony's excited.
I thought this was good when they demoed it. I'm like, oh, I guess so. You know, when you're. Well, I don't know. I'll let you say it first.
No, Tony. No, please. Please,
this is
Tony.
Amazing. Well, I'll let you talk about it.
I'll just let you, Tony, go right ahead.
Well,
you
plugging in the headphones automatically brings up the music controls. And I think the demo was. And you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but was it like. You know, the phone knows like your routine a little bit, and like, oh, I work out every day at 5 in the morning, and it knows when to put my you know, when I plug my headphones in, it's going to automatically bring the controls up, or is it all the time that it's going to bring up those controls?
That's a good question.
Because I thought I saw it, like, when they said, like, with, you know, with trying to learn your habits in a way. And I kind of, again, not to go to Google here, but I thought it was almost like Google Now in a way with cards and stuff, but not necessarily with cards. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
they did sell it as you said, where it seemed to almost learn the way that you, your habits, your personal habits. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think this particular feature might just be anytime you plug your headphones. I'm guessing you could at least turn that off if you want. I hope they have to at least allow you to disable that if you don't want it. But, yeah, I can see how a lot of people, you know, it does make it quicker for people that are constantly plugging their headphones in there. I personally am more of a Bluetooth headphone guy and not really.
Yeah, I was curious. They didn't really talk about it if they could differentiate between just, you know, the stock headphones that it comes with or, you know, let's see, a Bluetooth headphones, which I know there's a number of people out there that use those.
Right.
And will those, you know, those options still come up?
But and it's becoming more and more prevalent, I think, Bluetooth headphones in general. They used to be, you know, the prices have really dropped on those, so I think you know, there's certainly a market out there for people that don't want the cord, and you know, wireless is just kind of, in general, is mm-hmm. the future, I think. But
the future.
Okay, so then along with that, they discuss some calendar automatic additions to your calendar. Trying to remember exactly how that went. Do you guys kind of remember how they showed that? I know it was, I think if something's typed out on in a particular app.
I think is it again plugging in through your email? Google's got something kind of like this where if you know you book a flight, you get in your email. If you got a Google Calendar as well, it kind of throws the flight on the calendar.
Right.
I think this is something similar to that.
Sure. And again, I got to think they at least give you the option to disable this if you don't want something automatically generating events in your calendar. But yeah, I guess this is a new option. I got to say though, I noticed recently booked a flight and I noticed there was an event in my calendar that I don't remember adding. So I almost think this is already there to some extent. But yeah, so I at any rate, this is something they talked about at the keynote.
Yeah, Google does it through Gmail and Google Calendar. So if you've got that, you might have noticed that, and it's really handy. So it's glad that they've added this as well. If you're using the Apple Mail app and Apple Calendar app for that stuff.
Sure. So they talked about a little bit of improvements to the Photos application. The default Photos application, and that includes having a scroll bar that's at the bottom of the screen to kind of scroll through your photos. I guess that was for a particular album or a particular date or something. It must have been mostly by date that you could scroll through those at the bottom. But I think you can view them in different sorts of albums now, if I recall. The examples they showed, I don't know what the heck was with it this year, but they had a lot of karaoke jokes this time. And it's always
taking that joke a little too far.
Yeah, always with Eddie Q, that guy, but at any rate, they talk to Siri and tell her to bring up photos from karaoke, and that must have been the name of that particular album. Then it showed that scroll bar at the bottom that you can just kind of quickly go through those photos, and then also you're able to search by location through Siri as well, so you could say bring up all the photos for that were at this particular place, and I think their example said WWDC 2015, something like that. So, kind of some nice new capability with photos. The photos also.
Also, I heard, and this is something that I use a lot, is this is a separate article, but you'll be able to send, email more than 5 photos at a time through the Photos app. And I'm a big fan of that because I always hated that 5 limit restriction when I'm just browsing through photos and someone's like, oh yeah, send me all the photos of this event. And, you know, I'm like, I've done it where it's like, you know, 20 photos and then you got to break them up and, you know, 5 emails. So it's, or 4 emails.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I've done that more and just like, I don't, and then that really just, you know, eats up somebody's inbox and they got to look at, you know, however many, you know, the different attachments for the different many emails. So, this is nice and it doesn't seem like there's a restriction. Looking forward to that. And, I know you can do it right now if you open up the mail client and just insert photos into a new message. You can do that willy nilly, however many you want, but that's so tedious. But usually you can select, I don't know, however many photos usually in the Photos app, you know, just by, you know, just checking like, oh, I want these. And then it's, you know, send, boom, you're done. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that.
Cool. Yeah, me too. Yeah. I mean, admittedly, I wasn't quite as excited about Tony at first, but yeah, I came around. It seems like it could be.
If you do
decent.
Like to, and I know there's people that, yeah, everyone's got their own, you know, version to store however photos, however they want, whatever they want, or whatever they want to do, whether it be in the cloud or they want to just keep them in, you know, emails or, as attachments. So I'm willing to send those out, and it's going to make it a lot easier for whoever.
Sure.
Wants them.
Yeah. So the throughout a lot of pretty much everything up until this point, they were referring to Craig was referring to as intelligence. That was just the name they kind of use, and I guess it makes sense that things are getting smarter. And the point he had at the end of all that was that it was entirely anonymous and, you know, private, and that they don't even really care about your data. So everybody pretty much cheered when they said that, which is good. Yeah, I think it's good to hear that. When and I guess it's probably a direct response to Google, because Google tends to keep more of that sort of data. And maybe, again, to Matt's point, that could be a big reason why they're not able to maybe track the traffic. But, yeah, it's good to hear that kind of stuff. Apple Pay.
Apple Pay.
There are some improvements there. Thought this was a little bit ironic, actually. They changed the name of the passbook to Wallet, which, if you're familiar, Google has a Google Wallet also. And the reason I find that ironic is because Google went to Android Pay, is their new version of Apple Pay, kind of. And this seems like they're kind of going back and forth. I could have been wrong. Maybe Google Wallet is still a thing. It could be real. That could still be there. But, you know, so maybe it's not. Maybe it's less about, you know, they went with Wallet, and then Android Pay could be their specific payment option on the phone. And then Apple probably chose Wallet almost as a. I got to wonder if that's a response to Google or not. But there's a partnership now with Square also. Square is going to be having a wireless, an NFC type device that you'll be able to somehow that works with Apple Pay also. That's nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is.
Should be good. Yeah, I suppose that'll be really good for smaller companies and things like that, right?
Square's huge in smaller companies, and
yeah,
taxi drivers use it a lot, so having NFC is going to be a lot better for them.
Yeah, for sure. They will be surpassing 1 million locations next month that support Apple Pay, which is that's pretty cool. I gotta say, I was just in there's this new coffee chain out there called Pete's. It's kind of it's pretty prevalent around here now. They bought out a lot of what was this Caribou Coffee that used to be around where I live. And but I found out today they're supporting Apple Pay also, so
Nice.
I got to use that today. And also, they're not sponsoring the show or anything, but I'm a big fan of them right now. Even though I like the look of the Caribou Coffee prior, that had a really cool look inside the stores. The reason I really like Pete's, the big reason, is they have outlets like at literally every table in the place. So if you go there and you hook up your laptop, it's really nice for that.
Nice. That is really nice.
So at any rate, they're also partnering with Pinterest. I didn't really understand what the partnership was there exactly. I think it was being able to somehow use Apple Pay along with that. If you're on the Pinterest space, there's like an Apple Pay, buy this sort of option that somehow works through Apple Pay. It's going to be coming to the UK, and because their store card. Oh yes, of course. it's going to be supporting the credit cards that particular department stores, things like that, offer. That you'll be able to add those cards into the wallet application along with different rewards cards as well. So it's pretty cool. All pretty neat stuff coming to Apple Pay, and I'm actually really happy. It's taking off. I should say NFC is taking off better than it ever has before. So it's pretty exciting stuff. Finally in the U.S. when other countries have been doing this for years.
Yep.
Yeah. So good times. So again, the notes application, similar to the one in OS X, there's different styling, images, checklists, linking, and also drawings. I don't know if they really went into that in the OS X version, but you're able to do little doodles in there as well. So that's, kind of nice. I find myself more often than not needing that in email, probably. I'm gonna when I want to just send you guys like a quick diagram or something, or drawing or stupid little drawing. But that's cool. I'm glad they're adding this notes also. And as I mentioned, they have these new thumbnails and attachments view. I think the attachments view is the new view that's in there. But then the thumbnails view just allows you to who is that?
Tony should have been using his notes app, and he's crinkling a piece of paper.
Yeah, that's right.
Fully work there. All right, sure.
Still trying to get rid of all my physical paper into Evernote.
You could use the notes app.
I could use it. Yeah, just take a picture.
And when I said thumbnails, it just basically shows the thumbnail view now next to that particular item in the notes application. And then the attachments view, I think that was kind of the new and better view, and I'm trying to remember what was so special about it. it's just nice. Yeah, I from what I can remember,
just nice.
It's
just nice. Sure,
yeah, I can't remember exactly what was so nice about it, but it's good.
did they say anything about OCR in the notes app?
I did not. I don't remember hearing anything about that. No.
Okay,
Matt.
I'm just curious.
Nope. Yeah, I didn't hear anything. I'm assuming they don't have it.
No.
I don't even think you could upload like PDFs or anything. I think it was just images.
Sure.
I could be wrong though.
So again, Apple Maps. They have the transit functionality in there also. You know, it's pretty unified now, I guess, between the two platforms. This will be available in certain cities at launch because obviously, not every city has subways and things like that. There was maybe, I want to say like 10 to 20 different cities that they're going to be launching with. Locations nearby. What does that refer to? I don't know. Locations nearby. Tony?
Are those a series of suggestions for stuff you should go to?
That's probably. Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I know you drink a lot. Here's a nearby bar.
I like to hear this because that's something I find myself a lot. In the past, I've used an application called Around Me, which was pretty nice for this kind of stuff. It allowed you to be able to, search out particular things like gas stations, that type of thing. So apparently you're going to be able to do that with Apple Maps now, a little easier. Restaurants, that type of thing. hotels.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that should be nice there. Glad to hear they're adding that kind of stuff. So then they also announced this new news app, which is essentially their direct competitor to Flipboard, really, because it's pretty like Flipboard, right? has a nice clean interface to it. It is interactive, similar to what similar to what iBooks should have been. I didn't really get too much into that, but I know there were some iBooks out there that were meant to be more interactive and things like that. But they did show. What's that?
I was just going to say, I think it's going to replace that newsstand app.
Yes. And I hear Matt silently cheering, probably.
Yeah, I bet he is. Well, it's just one more icon that could potentially be useful instead of, you know, in a crap folder.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get rid of.
Very true. And along with being interactive, there's animation, mm-hmm. you know, involved in that. And that all looked pretty cool. Like, they had the New York Times, and a New York Times article on there, and some other ones as well that had different physics, and as you scroll down, certain things would transition in and fade and shift in. So it looks pretty neat, I gotta say. There's things on there where you can tap on topics in the For You area, which is incidentally the same name as something that we'll get to a little later, but so you can do very specific and get pretty specific with your types of interests in there. You know, if you start tapping technology and, you know, art and those types of things, then you can also expand that to, or I should say music. So you can also expand that to, maybe not music, computers. That goes along with technology. And then if you type in Swift, you would get like the programming language and not Taylor Swift. That was their example. So you can make it, you know, much more specific based on your particular interests. And that's going to be in the US, UK, and Australia. I guess at launch. So fun stuff.
This was the one that they announced, and I was kind of torn on if I'm happy that they're doing it or kind of sad. So something like Flipboard, I think there's a lot of innovation in a company, a third party doing that. And I think there's a lot of news apps out there right now, whereas making it something kind of default in the OS seems like it might stifle some innovation there. And it seems like there's a lot of options for that, whereas, you know, maybe something else, I don't know, I guess some of the other ones seem kind of fundamental that you would need. So I don't know. Yeah, the news, this one feels, I guess maybe it feels kind of like iBooks, where it's, you know, there's other apps for that kind of stuff, but maybe iBooks, there's only one direct competitor, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm kind of torn on this one.
Yeah, I but again, it's not a newsstand, I guess, but not necessarily one less icon either, right? Oh, well.
That's true.
But I can see myself using this at the same time. Not that I will say I'll use it for techies probably as far as gathering articles. So it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's a plus in my book. There were some new keyboard options I talked about, one of which they talked about some QuickType improvements. I guess this must have been from here on out. They were really talking about iPad improvements to iOS. For instance, you're able to use your keyboard like a trackpad now if you you do the two-finger... Or wait, is that a QuickType? Yeah, it was. It was a two-finger that allowed you to use your keyboard as a trackpad. Basically lets you move your cursor around. You know, if you have text and you want to highlight certain text on there, you can do that with two fingers and on the keyboard and then select that particular text that you want on there. So that was kind of nice. Without letting your fingers leave the keyboard. So kind of a neat feature there.
Yeah, I'm pretty darn excited about that one. It just sometimes it's just a chore to try and get the cursor exactly where you want it with your finger. So this seems like it's going to be a lot easier to just move the cursor around just really quick to copy or paste something. And I think they added, I think that shortcut bar, I don't know if you skipped over that or you're going to that next, but just a button you can click on the keyboard to copy something. So just a lot quicker to do that versus trying to tap and hold.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, no, I'm glad you actually reminded me. I wasn't actually, I recall now, but yes, that is, interesting. It's something that's already kind of on, the iPhone 6 Plus, in landscape mode. They already have those kinds of copy and paste, buttons, but to be honest, I don't use them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I actually don't really use them. I generally don't find typing in landscape mode to be that great. And to be honest,
it's only in landscape mode?
No, well, on the 6 Plus it is. Yes. But on the iPad I think it is the full view actually. But at the same time, I don't know if I use it on the iPad or not. Yet to be seen. But I think the reason I stick with portrait mode when I type on the iPad iPhone I should say is because I'm just so used to doing the single thumb sort of typing on it. I think that's a big reason, and I'm just not as quick with the two thumbs. I think that's a big part of it, and I just kind of forget mostly that I don't have those copy and paste buttons. Well, that along with the layout changes pretty dramatically when you move into landscape mode. But I guess that maybe wouldn't be so much the case on the iPad. I guess that one bar with all those different shortcut buttons maybe would make that a lot simpler. So should be pretty good. Yeah, so then along with that, they added new options for physical keyboards, Bluetooth, or I guess they're mostly Bluetooth what they have out there, but along with that, some shortcut, like a shortcut help window, and then different keys that allow you to do app switching and things like that. So just a little bit of new capability added with the physical keyboards as well. So then multitasking options that they added in, one of which was slide over, and again, these are just iPad, unfortunately, but slide over was similar to split view. I believe it's, now I'm trying to remember.
it's like in OS 10 when you do the notification or today shade. It kind of just pulls in. So if you had messages, you could pull it in. It'd just be, I don't know, maybe a third or a quarter of your screen just kind of comes over. You can respond to a message right there. So you can kind of interact with a different app while you're still in whatever main app you're in. Or if you've got, if you slide up the Notes app, you can copy something from a web page in Safari and paste it in there. So
that's I just saw this with, like, I was on my MacBook Pro and I just slid my, on the trackpad from on the trackpad on the rightmost part of it to the left a little bit, and there my notifications came. And I didn't even know I could do that. I think it's a gesture.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, I suppose, if I used it, you know. But so I think that's kind of what that slide over is a little bit of. Now they're doing it on the iPad. So
yeah, good. Actually, yeah, that is a good point. There's kind of similar functionality there. But then they also have the split view similar to OS X. Or El Capitan specifically, but I don't think is it quite as, it might be not quite as sophisticated as the OS X version of it, but seemed pretty similar, being able to have two applications running simultaneously like that or on the screen. But it is different than slide over, right?
Yeah, I think what you do is you do the slide over that just kind of brings in that next app, and then you can just pin it down, and then it moves your one app over and puts the slide over. So I think slide over is kind of the start of doing a split view.
Okay.
So it seems like that's kind of the gesture to get it started.
Sure. So along with that, there is capability now that allows you to do things like picture-in-picture, where if you have a YouTube video playing or something like that, that can be in a separate window that you can move around all over the screen, or even off the screen if it's getting in the way. So that's kind of a neat feature there. And then apparently there's an API that they're bringing out with this as well. I don't know if that's for all of this multitasking functionality, or if that refers to just split view specifically.
I think it was some. It was an API to for the iPhone to tell you, "Hey, render your app. Here's your new resolution." Something to just kind of scale your app, and you can kind of draw it accordingly. I think it's just using that same API for the split view. I think it had to do something with the 6 versus 6 Plus, where I don't know. they've got some API right now that tells the app, hey, you know, draw yourself at whatever size. And they're just reusing that for the slide over. I think the note was just that most apps should work with slide over already.
Okay. So I guess this is going to be working on the iPad Air 2 and up. So look at that. I'm pretty excited about any sort of multi-pane view. I think this is something most people have been waiting for a long time, or a lot of people have been. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think the implementation looks really nice. Having slide over for messages, I use Evernote all the time. I'm pretty excited to just have a slide over for Evernote so I can just write a quick note or copy something. So it looks like the implementation they did a really good job, put a lot of thought into it. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Sweet. Performance is significantly better. I guess with the battery life, you're going to be getting allegedly an additional hour. That seems kind of crazy to me. I'm not exactly sure how they're able to do this type of stuff, but just, I don't know if it, you know, it's just cleaning up a lot of code, different things like that. I'm not sure what exactly that all entails, but I think that's pretty cool. And then there is a lower power mode that extends that an additional 3 hours, which is pretty neat. And I don't know, that must be... Was that turned down? They didn't really go into it. I don't think they really showed what that all entailed, but I'm assuming it has something to do with the brightness or animations, different things like that, just things that would be consuming a lot more power. Maybe even wireless capabilities. But again, I don't think he really explained what that low power mode really entailed. We'll have to check it out, though. There is going to be an option for two-factor authentication, I don't think he really went too far into it, just, but, you know, typically two-factor authentication is something like having a key fob with a number that you type in, that sort of thing, or it could be any second, factor in addition to your password, right? That could be,
don't we have that with the, fingerprint?
Yeah.
The key?
Yeah, true.
I thought they had this already, or at least with maybe when you sign in online, they've got two factor. I'm curious where they're adding. It seems like every single app they've done it differently, the authentication, so it's not just one place. So it's kind of weird. It seems like they're slowly rolling it out.
Right. So we'll have to check that out once it's released. The kind of one of the coolest things you talked about, though, is that what was the 4.6 gigs required for iOS 8 is now down to 1.3. So I think a lot of people are happy about that. Most people should be able to get that without, you know, deleting a bunch of files and applications, things like that. So
I always love showing those adoption graphs. And I'm pretty sure this was probably the reason that their the latest upgrade just didn't have as good of a graph as they wanted. So I'm sure that was...
Like 88% versus... whatever it was in the past, 97 or something. there are some new dev enhancements, which kind of was the whole point behind this conference. They've added some new kits, gameplay kit, model.io, and replay kit. Those are just some application kits specifically for programming. I know he went into a lot of, some of them had to do with AI, some of them had to do with... game-specific types of coding, but just kind of making that easier for programmers out there. So it's kind of fun stuff. Health kit, they've added some new things to monitor in there, like hydration, UV exposure, and apparently reproductive health. So look for that.
There you go.
Fun stuff. Home kit allows you to, you know, different things like window shades, CO sensors? I don't know. That makes sense. Monoxide, not dioxide. Sensors for that, motion sensors, security systems, and I guess you can access this all through the through iCloud now. So they're just all these different kits. It's kind of fun. Almost too many kits. No, I don't know. They do have a lot of different. They do have a separate icon for each and every one of these things, which is kind of funny. But when they're not actually applications, I don't know if that was you, Tony, that pointed that out. Or somebody pointed that out to me that they have these individual icons for all these things that aren't even really apps themselves, but they're just kind of,
just kind essentially of, just coding libraries.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Again, mostly just for developers to kind of access. But you know, it benefits the consumers in the long run. CarPlay, they had some improvements there. They're going to be in the future making it so, which I'm kind of surprised this wasn't the case already, but where you don't have to, you know, plug the phone in directly to your navigation system or touchscreen. They're starting to do some wireless functionality there, so you don't have to take your phone out of your pocket, so that's good. It's now supporting apps by that the auto manufacturers or automakers have made specifically. So, you know, Toyota or your auto manufacturer of choice, I guess. I do know Toyota is one of the partners. Just throwing that out there. There's different. They're starting to support, you know, different screen dimensions. So that kind of flows to that particular screen size on your dash there. And I put wireless in the future. I think that's pretty much what they were saying about not taking your phone out of your pocket. That there's going to be more wireless functionality later on down the road. So I'm excited. I want my next car to support this for sure. I want my phone more integrated with my car, definitely. I like having Bluetooth and all, but you know, there's a lot more capability there.
CarPlay is one of those things where it's got to be integrated in the car, so it's just one of those things you can't really get too excited about because you don't upgrade your car too often. So
right, exactly.
It's not like you need to go much buy.
It's hard enough for me to do every 2 years with my phone now. I'm still getting used to that. My car is a much less frequent. Even though I keep getting things in the mail about upgrading my vehicle.
I do too. Yeah,
I got to get on that 1 year upgrade cycle for my car.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just don't have money to throw out a new car every year.
Lease it.
Yeah. So then they got into WatchOS or WatchOS 2. Or wait, sorry, skip Swift here. So Swift 2 is they already got that latest one, and they announced it's going to be open source now, which is a little bit misleading, I think. It is, they are making the language itself open source, and they talked about how it's going to be available on iOS, OS X, and Linux. No Windows, certainly that's probably no surprise there. My thought with Linux, because OS X is Unix-based, I guess that's
similar.
Why they'd be going with Linux. But they talked about iOS. I'm not sure if that means, I don't know if that means you're going to be able to program on iOS or what that means exactly. Matt, do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't know what all this is gonna lead to, but I mean, open source, they're just pretty much making the source code to the language open, you know, for everybody to use. So maybe it's other people coming up with some big ID players out there that might make something different than what's the default Apple Xcode. So mm-hmm. You know, IntelliJ's got some good stuff. Eclipse is maybe a big player. Maybe those guys would kind of step in and start making different tools for building these apps. So it's probably what I would maybe thinking.
Yeah.
Is Objective-C open source?
I don't think it ever was, no.
No, yeah, probably not. Whereas you could still code with C and C++ in there, and I think those are open source, I assume.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So some interesting things. You know, Apple's done this a couple times. They did it with WebKit, you know, open source web browser that Google ended up making the most popular browser out there. I want to say FaceTime is open source, or anyone's able to use that, but no one else is. And then this is, I guess, the third. At least those are the three things that I'm really kind of aware of that Google that Apple's done open source. So that's kind of neat. It's so I think they, you know, Apple does some nice things. You know, I think the App Store is. There was a video during this whole thing about how awesome their app store really is, and they got, what is it, 100 billion downloads now or something like that. So I think they're open source. They're open source when they need to be or when they can be, and then, you know, not so much otherwise.
I think it's kind of a cool move. Just you know, if you like programming in Swift, then you could use it on Linux. Or you know, if you want to try it out and you don't have an Apple machine, you could start learning the language on Linux or a different system and use it there. And hopefully, it's going to lead to more and better apps on Apple.
Sure. So, all right. Cool. So then they went into the watchOS version 2, which was real quick, and they talked about how it's only been 6 weeks since the watch was actually released. They already have 2.0 in the works here, and that's so first thing they went into was the timepiece application or new options in there, like different photo faces and time lapse videos you can have on the watch face there. There's things like, they call them complications. I really just think they're, you know, essentially what would be widgets on the phone, you know, different types of sort of mini applications you can have on there, like air. I think one of their examples was flight times and things like that. Time travel is a mode that allows you to use the crown of your watch to sort of go back and forth through time, which was kind of interesting. I don't know how practical that is, but seemed interesting. And then the nightstand mode, I thought that was pretty nice and something that I wish the phone has been able to do for a long time.
That's a good point.
I guess the phone's not a watch, so I don't know. It, basically, you know, you can set your phone on its side, and it has kind of a nice portrait or landscape mode, I should say. So you can set it up more or less like an alarm clock. Communication options they have in there now. You can have additional sets of friends. You know, initially just had 12, I think, was you know, you really could just have 12 favorites on there, and you can add multiple colors in your drawings, kind of. Okay, I guess that's nice.
Apple will allow you to have more than 12 friends now.
Now you can reply to emails. Yeah, I don't know why you can reply to emails out the gate, but you know, I guess they keep it simple to begin with.
Well, I guess how would it be typing on that?
Well, I think a lot of this has to do with using Siri for some of these things.
Oh, I suppose.
But
yeah, I've never used one, so I don't really.
Yeah. The other thing, FaceTime audio, they're allowing you to do that now as well. Mm-hmm. Different fitness apps are going to be running natively now in watchOS, such as, well, I should say an example would be Siri will now let you start your workouts, you know. That is one thing I'll say. Probably one of the biggest things was they had a lot of new Siri functionality in there. And then, you know, along with those fitness apps, you'll have 3D sort of badges or achievements in there. You get a nice little badge icon that you can kind of spin around, which I thought was kind of nice. I kind of wish I could do that on my phone right now. But
you want all this on your phone?
Probably. I'm guessing you'll be able to do that.
WatchOS has to be integrated into iOS 9.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. So WatchKit is going to be used to help create native apps on the watch, which is, I guess, that's pretty nice. If you're already making an app, makes it a lot or that much easier to then just transfer that over to the watch. Apple Pay and Wallet, that's all going to be on there. You just have the same transit options with, you know, that Apple Maps has on OS 10 and iOS. Siri, yeah, as I mentioned, Siri has a lot of upgraded functionality on there, and that, you know, a lot of native apps are going to be able to be run locally rather than through your phone. I think somehow they were working through your phone prior. I don't know if that was just through, you know, Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, or, you know, which just means, you know, you'll get a lot of speed improvement there. And, you know, I don't think the watch has a lot of storage space on it. I don't remember exactly how many gigs the thing was. Maybe probably only a couple gigs on there.
I thought 8, but I don't remember.
Oh,
for
wow,
sure.
Okay. All right. So, you know, obviously you don't want too many apps running natively, but they really don't need to be such a small screen like that. You really don't need to take up a whole lot of storage space. I guess you're now able to access the microphone and use the speaker on there, which, again, I was kind of surprised you couldn't do that really prior, but you know, I guess the phone initially didn't really allow you to use some of those things also, you know, the first gen iPhone. But yeah, I mean, how long did it really take to get that voice memo application, you know? But you won't have to wait much longer. So you're going to be able to play video such as, I guess, Vine is a big kind of a nice one you can play in there. Vine videos are really kind of perfect for the watch because they're small and just, you know, quick, short videos that really work well on the watch display. And HealthKit, HomeKit, and the accelerometer can all be accessed as well. And then the, I guess the Taptic Engine, which was that last episode we talked about that? I think it was. And along with the Crown, you can use those to access, that's what it is. Okay, so the devs can now access both of those. They have the ability to incorporate those in their applications now, so... That should be fun stuff.
Does this make you want the watch more or less?
Well, yeah, any improvements.
Or not, are still indifferent and don't care about it.
Well, it doesn't make me want to want it less. I guess constantly making improvements, I guess that's only going to make me want it more in theory. Unless
I guess I kind of do want it more, but I don't have the money for it right
now. No, it's still the price that's why I'm not going to be getting it. But
It's kind of a big step just for... Yeah.
The only way I would want it less is if maybe they up the price.
Yeah. Maybe the you get the Twitter feed on my wrist now. I could do that.
But I guess, you know, I guess it's better to start high, really, rather than the other way around, right?
Start high and then maybe jump out?
Or vice versa, yeah. You don't want to start too low and then, we're raising the price.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Apple's good about that. They have never started too low.
They're good about pricing high. Is that it? Yep, yeah. That's right.
So the last thing they talked about, which was that was briefly mentioned in my article last week, was Apple Music, their new complete music ecosystem. which has three parts to it: a revolutionary music service, 24/7 global radio, and connecting fans with artists. I guess those are the three things they were... really kind of trying to sell here. Along with the revolutionary music service, they have My Music, which allows you to have a, you know, kind of your own personal playlist that you can really reorganize on the fly. I should say, yeah, it is, when I say it's a music service, it is more or less like a Spotify type of music, radio, sort of internet radio. Which, you know, they didn't really go into, but I got the impression, do you guys know, is this more or less replacing iTunes Radio?
I was unclear about that, too. Like, is this, am I going to get a whole new music application where it just incorporates everything in it?
Well, it is getting updated, yeah. The music application is getting updated to this, from what I can tell. It's just, yeah, I guess I'm a little bit unclear on whether or not you'll get a separate iTunes Radio in there or not.
I guess they could keep it if it's just going to just throw it in there too. And they just keep it separate from everything they announced, if it's all just in their ecosystem, as they say.
Right.
But, I mean, they could take it out too for the little 24/7 global radio.
So My Music, that is one one new tab is on there. Another one is For You, which has recommendations that real people have suggested out there. Full playlists, I believe. And along with that, you get these animated sort of bubbles that shows a particular artist that you can tap on, you know, once or twice to show how much you really like that particular artist, to kind of create. I guess it creates your own playlist, but it's also a playlist that a real person is not quite sure how that seems to kind of contradict itself in a way. But yeah, more or less is going to be music for you specifically. And then they also have tab in there for new, which obviously it's just kind of the newest, the latest and greatest kind of music in there. The 27 Global Radio, that includes Beats One. That's Beats One. I think there's three different locations out there for these particular 24/7 radio stations out there. Three different locations around the, I don't know if it was just around the U.S.
Did you guys,
the world.
Go on. Sorry.
No, what's that, Tony?
I was gonna say, do you remember who talked about this in the keynote on last Monday?
In the keynote, you mean in the video or the guy that was on stage?
The guy on stage.
Well, there's two. I guess there was first. It was basically the big
Trent
exec.
Reznor and Drake were on there.
Well, Trent Reznor was in the video. Drake was up on stage for a little bit.
It might have been Drake. I don't know how I feel about the presentation, but when they're talking about the radio, they're saying like, we're just going to play music that people like. And I'm like, but he didn't go anything past that. I think he just kept repeating himself. Like, we're just going to play music people like. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? People vary, their tastes are all different. And it just, and then, I think he said it like three or four times or something. I'm like, what? So
that's reassuring.
The guy before that too.
I'm going to listen to it, but just to see if it's really what I like. But yeah. I'm not. Hopefully, optimistic or whatever. I don't know.
The guy that was up there before Drake was, I can't remember his name offhand, but I believe he's the exec that has worked with in the past or has worked with for years now. Dr. Dre. I think that's him. I think it was him and Dr. Dre were the two that basically own Beats, if I recall correctly. And you know, he got up there and he talked about how years ago he went to Steve Jobs and Eddie Q about how can we get this, how can we make this a cohesive ecosystem or whatever it was he was talking about. But so this is kind of that dream kind of come to life apparently. And so the last part again was connecting fans with artists. I think Tony and I were kind of considering the next version of Ping.
Ping 2.0. Is this? Yeah, I don't know.
It's called Connect. It's called Connect, not to be confused with the Microsoft Connect.
That's nice.
But
I don't know how that's going to do again, but we'll see.
Yeah, it just basically gives a way of for new or upcoming artists, for all music artists out there to get out there and connect with their fans.
Do you see yourself checking this out?
Yeah, I... Definitely.
Did you check out Ping?
No. At the time,
it's kind of what I think.
By the time, I wasn't really doing music so much. So now, yeah, I got the band. I got some personal music out there. So I think this will be good to.
That's true. You now have I can see now why you would use it versus then. Yeah. What about you, Matt?
I might try it out. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old. I like to have music on, but I'm not really too picky about what it is.
Sure.
And I don't know.
Sure. You just like to have something in the background. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can't even really tell you what's normally playing. It's just it's just there, and I kind of zone out when I'm working. So.
Well, I'm definitely going to give this a shot. Certainly because they're offering up the first 3 months for free. Beyond that, it's going to be $9.99 a month. And for those of you that aren't in the know, that's $10, or roughly.
I'll try it definitely for the 3 months. You got nothing to lose there And I think that's, they're just, trying to make it so you get hooked and then you're like, all right, I guess I'll $10 a month.
As long as I cancel right away or unsubscribe.
Well, no, that's true.
Know. No, well, I mean.
Unless you like it.
Right. If I like it, I can resubscribe. But I think I'll probably enjoy it. I'll take a look. I don't know. We'll see what my budget's like, my lack thereof, once those 3 months are up, we'll see what happens and whether or not I actually want to continue with that.
Did this have something like Spotify where you could just make your own playlist out of whatever songs, even songs you don't own, or is it like Pandora?
I think that's kind of the whole point.
You have access to all their music, and it's most of their music. Like, I think they did talk about, like, or maybe I heard this from somewhere else, like, the Beatles won't be on here unless you own the Beatles. Yeah, sure. Unless you bought them specifically, their digital content from the Apple Store or iTunes.
Sure. But, what about Taylor Swift? I don't know. Because they did have a throwback to her in the...
I think she will... Like anything currently in iTunes, for the most part, should be available to make playlists and do whatever you want with it to listen to it. But I'm sure there's something out there that is not. And maybe she's an example of it. Maybe Taylor Swift too. I don't know. But I wouldn't think so.
Well, it is $14.99 for families up to six people. That was kind of a neat thing. And they kind of admitted, some people you know, actually will do this without maybe being quite so legit, you know, share accounts, things like that. But yeah, so everyone can have their own playlist, different things like that. So it's kind of a nice option in there for, for families as well. I guess this is happening 6:30, so that's right at the end of this month.
2 weeks.
Yep, yep. So I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. I certainly try for free. I think it'll be.
Yeah, I'll try.
Should be pretty interesting. And then they it ended on they ended with the band The Weeknd, which is W E E K N D, I guess. So I don't know. It sounded interesting. They've been doing that a lot for a while now with different bands, just kind of ending. And looking forward to, I keep saying that, but the band sounded interesting, you know. But they didn't give away any free U2 albums this time. But
oh, that's too bad. Well, kind of people like I hate sometimes. I mean, yeah, maybe they could have executed it better, but you know, it's a free album.
Well, I don't mean to cut things short here, but we are. Wow, yeah, we've had quite a long episode today, and I think we are going to not so much... we're going to skip our XP booth section this week, talk about that. We're not sure if we're doing next week. It is Father's Day next weekend, next Sunday, so we'll see whether or not we do it then. But, yeah, we'll talk about that next episode, I should say, either way. So you can check out our website at niceguynetwork.com/techies. Check us out on iTunes. Give us a rating on there. If you have a brief moment, we would love it. Do a little search in there for Techies Podcast, or again, access that link on our website. Yep. We're on Stitcher. We are on Alpha Geek Radio, recording Sundays at 6, 7 Central on Channel 2. Check us out there. You can email us at techiespodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at /Techies Podcast and on Twitter at Techies Podcast.
Techies Podcast.
I don't know. I think that should about do it. You guys have anything else you want to talk about? You want to give away your Twitter accounts again or not?
Matt?
No worries if you don't. I'm at Shave Mad Ox. You can find me. Check Matt, me out there. Muted? Anyone else? Anyone?
I am muted.
Yeah, you sounded like you were muted.
Sounded like I was mad. I am on Twitter at Hulock, HEWLOCK.
Nice. Tony?
I don't remember. I think mine is mine is Eibel123 or at Eibel, and that is EIBL123.
Nice.
That sounds like a radio station.
That's right.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks very much. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. You guys are awesome. Hopefully, if you know, we'd also love to hear from you if you want to let us know what's on your mind. And until next time, tech her easy. Try again.